Stand with us and turn to number 14. Number 14. Another request for a song, number
263. 263.
When you take
Amen. Bless you, Sister Motes. Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord for the Miller. He's let me live one more year. And you know, but if I live another year on this earth, you know where I'm going to be? In a better country.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister Treva. Appreciate the good testimonies. I've enjoyed the singing this morning, and I got a blessing out of the last song that we sung. I remember that too, Sister Pat, when the Lord touched me. I thought about it while we sang about it this morning. He touched me, made me whole, and I remember that very, very well, the night the Lord saved my soul, and I found that many times since then that He really does care for His children. Many times when my heart was broken, when I was in despair over different things, different types of trouble, I found out that many times that if you'll call on the Lord, He'll just come right up next to you and put His arm around you, and you know He's there. You know that He's there with you, and that He's able to aid us in everything that we go through. I ask you to pray for the message today as it goes forth. And I want to share some scripture with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you would like to read with me, please turn there. And I want to read the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians 5 for a scripture reading, beginning with verse 1. It says, Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, for a scripture reading here this morning. And I want to read the last two verses again, and I want you to really give attention to the words of these verses. Paul had wrote to them and spoke about the knowledge that we have as the people of God, that when we finish our life here, when our life in this world is over, that we have a better life in a better world. And in verse 9 and 10, he said, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And the thought that I want to share with you today that the Lord has placed upon my heart is the surety of judgment. I want you to think with me today about that, about the surety of the day, the coming day of God's righteous judgment. Here in verse 10, we find that we're all on an even playing field, because Paul said we must all appear. Amen. We're all the same in this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word must, at different times in the scriptures, though it has basically the same meaning, it indicates that something is absolute, that it is imperative. Jesus told Nicodemus, and you can find recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, that Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." But we know that what the Lord was saying in that, we know that he wasn't saying that we are forced to be born again. He was saying that if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to walk the streets of gold when this life is over, that you must be born again in order to do that. There's no other way. You must be saved by God's grace in order for heaven to be your eternal home. But you have a choice in that of whether or not you are willing to seek the Lord for salvation, because you can choose to reject him and die lost and in your sins. It's not a good choice, but you can make that choice. But here in this verse, when Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, there is no choice. It is absolute, it is fixed, it will take place. We have to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand in the Lord's judgment one day. We will appear before him one day, and we will all be judged, and nobody will be excluded by that or from that by their own choice. You will not be able to choose. You know, as I said today, you can choose whether or not to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, but we cannot choose whether or not we are going to appear before the Lord in judgment one day, because we must all appear and we must all give account unto the Lord in that day. Now, I'll tell you this, that I believe that the world in so many ways has forgotten that. And I believe that among the churches, among our old time missionary Baptist churches, I'm afraid that far too often that we are not conscious enough of the fact that, friends, we are going to have to appear one day in judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to answer there in that day to him for everything that we have done in the body, whether it's been good or whether it's been evil. I don't know how that you could possibly take that verse of Scripture any other way. It leaves no room for any private interpretation whatsoever. We all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we all have to give account before Him of the things that we have done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. That's pretty plain to me. I don't see how there's any room for error in what somebody would believe about that. If we look in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, in the latter part of that verse, and I want to speak about all of that verse, but I want to talk about the first part of it a little bit later, if the Lord permits. But in the latter part of Romans 14 and 10, Paul, writing to the Romans, makes this statement again. He said, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." So he wrote and told the Romans the same thing that he told the Corinthians, that we are going to have to appear one day before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to go back to the first verse that I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And what I want, the point that I want to try to make in this message today, and you pray that God will help me to make the point that He burdened my heart with, I want us to see the relevance for us today as the people of God, and how that it will benefit us to be reminded of these things and be made aware of these things from time to time, because the Apostle Paul, in writing these things under the inspiration of God to the church at Corinth, ought to tell us that in some way it was beneficial for them to know these things. And it's beneficial for us today. Now, what we see in the first verse here is that the Apostle Paul, in writing this to them, and as I said, and I want you to keep this in mind, him writing this to the Corinthian church, being led of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God when he wrote, he obviously was not teaching them about something that they had never heard. But what he was doing was he was reminding them of something that they already knew. Because it wasn't the first time, obviously, that these people had ever heard, or it wasn't their first glimpse of this knowledge that when their earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that they would have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, or in other words, that when they come to the end of their life, that they would go to heaven if they were saved. Obviously, it wasn't their first encounter with that teaching, because when the Apostle Paul wrote it, he said, "We know." It's something that we already know. It's something that we're already aware of. We know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God. And those of us that are saved today, we know that we have been saved. Listen, God doesn't save people and keep them in the dark about it. If you're confused about your salvation today, I want you to know this, that's of the devil, not of God. God's not the author of confusion. God saves us and he lets us know that we're saved. And so we know that those of us who have been saved, we know that we have been saved. We know that he touched us. We know that we have a home in heaven when this life is over. But the question is, do we stay consciously aware of that the way that we should? You know, many times in preaching and many times in the writings of the Scriptures and many times in these epistles that Paul wrote to different churches and to different preachers, many times what he was doing was he was just reminding them of something that they already knew. I believe these people knew that even before this point, that they would have to stand judgment. I believe they'd already been taught that. But Paul again here reminded them of that. Well, for those of us who have been saved, why would it be important for us to be reminded? You know, there have been many times throughout the years of my ministry, there have been many times that I have felt so compelled and so burdened by God to preach to the people of God about heaven. I mean, I really have many times felt such a strong impression to stand before the saints and to preach to them about the place that God has prepared for His people. Well, why? Why would that be necessary? And why would it be necessary for the Apostle Paul to remind these people of something that they already knew? How would it serve them in their Christian life to know that they were headed for heaven when this life was over? Well, it does. It serves us very well. And listen, friends, all of you that are saved today, it will be to your benefit in your Christian life to keep it before you all the time that pretty soon you're going to heaven. That you've got a home there, that you've got a place that's reserved there, that you're being kept by the power of God, that nothing's going to take that away from you, that you're going to be there in just a short time. And keep that before us every day, because it will greatly benefit our walk for the Lord while we live here in this life, to stay aware of that very fact. Listen, the more that you set your sights on heaven, the more that you fix your eyes upon the glory world, the more that you meditate about that, the more that you think about that, the more consciously aware of that that you are, the less likely you are to become wrapped up and involved in the temporal things of this life. You look at something ahead. You look at something that's better. You keep that in the forefront. You keep that before you, and you remember and realize from day to day that this world is not my home. Friends, listen, as I stand before you today, I want you to know that this world is not my home. I'm not staying here. I'm only going to be here for a little while. I'm just making a short journey through this life, and I'm on my way to a better place, and I'm going to be glad and happy when I get there. That's my goal. That's my expectation, to see Jesus in the land that He's prepared for His people. That's home to me. That's home to me. Some call it heaven. I call it home. And I'm headed home. I'm well on my way, and I'll get there here before too long. But I need to remember that while I'm living here. And I believe the answer, I believe that is well answered in Paul's writing to the Colossians. If you look in Colossians chapter 3, Paul said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." Well, why? Why would He give them that type of instruction? Why would He want them to walk with their heads in the clouds? Why would He want them to stay so consciously aware of what is waiting for them? Set your affections on things above, because you know what? If you do, you won't set your affections on things on the earth. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Sure it is. Jesus taught us that by saying this: "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And church, I'm going to tell you this again today. I know you've heard me say it many times. You may be sick of hearing it by now, but I'm going to tell you this every time that the Lord moves upon my heart to tell you this. We have become too attached to the temporal things of this world. Amen. You can believe it or you cannot believe it. I believe it's the truth that we have become too attached to the temporal things of life. We have set our affections on things below and have not kept them on things above the way that we should. And if we take our eyes off of heaven and we don't stay aware of the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims here, because the Bible says that it's those that confess that that they are pilgrims and strangers on the earth, it's those that keep their eyes upon the promised land, that those that keep their eyes upon what's ahead and look to them by faith are those that end up confessing, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger here on the earth. I'll tell you what, you may not think about it, but you or may not realize how much that it will affect your Christian walk here in this life to remember that when this earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that we've got a better home waiting for us. And the more aware of that we are, the closer to God we will live here in this life. Paul knew that. Did he write to the Corinthian church? Did he write to the Romans? Did he write to the Colossians and remind them of the beauty of heaven and remind them of the fact that they were going there one day? Did he do that just for the purpose of stirring them up and making them get shouting happy in the Lord? Well, no. He had more, a deeper purpose in that. You know what? Sometimes when God's people do get to thinking about that, we do get happy. We do rejoice. We do shout the praises of God. But that's not all the reason that he wrote these things. He wanted them to stay fixed on the thoughts of heaven and keep their eyes off the things of this world. And I believe that the same thing applies to what he taught them concerning the judgment. You know what? We need to remember every day. Listen, there's way too many people in the world today. You know this as well as I do. There's way too many people in the world today that are living under the concept that they can do whatever they want to do, and there's nobody that they have to answer to. If this is my thing, I'll just do my own thing. And there are too many people in the world today that believe they can live their life on the earth however they want to without any consequence whatsoever. It's nobody's business but mine. But let me tell you something, friends. One day the deeds of man are going to be made manifest. One day the Bible teaches me that those things that have been done in secret will be shouted up on the housetop. One of these days, everybody that's ever passed through this life will stand before the righteous judgment of God, and there we'll give an account. You better remember in your Christian life, in your Christian walk, from day to day, we better stay consciously aware of the fact that God is the all-seeing eye and the all-hearing ear, and He sees everything that we do. And He hears everything that we say, and He knows every thought before we even think it. Our lives are under the microscope of God, and He sees us every day. I don't put a whole lot of stock sometimes in man's judgment. And I'll tell you this, and it's not an attitude, it's not a bad attitude, but I'll tell you just exactly how I feel. As long as I know that I'm following the Lord and walking in His way, if you don't like it, don't like it. Amen. I'm not going to worry too much about it. If you know that you're living the way that God would have you to live, because let me tell you something, as you pass through this life, there's going to be people that will judge you. If I were not willing to undergo those things, I would have made it about 24 hours in the ministry, and I would have had to quit. There's going to be people along the way that will judge you. There's going to be people that will say things about you. Let me tell you something. One of the great faults that we have as human beings is we can find all sorts of things wrong with our brother or sister, but we just can't seem to see it in ourselves, can we? I mean, we can say, look at what he did or look at what she did. I can't believe that a Christian would do that, do this or do that. And there are some moral issues, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me in this. There are some moral issues that take place among us that the Lord expects the church to judge in those things and to discipline and to do what's right. But I'm talking about just judging each other from day to day. Friends, listen, the Bible condemns it. God's Word condemns it. You listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is the way that Paul felt about it. This is the way that he felt about man's judgment. And it wasn't that he was not willing to take advice. We all ought to be willing to take advice. We ought to be able to handle that when we are going in the wrong direction and somebody loves us enough that they're willing to give us advice, we ought to be willing to listen. And that's not what Paul was talking about here. He was talking about being judged by people. And this is how he felt about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And you know what? Isn't that the bottom line? Isn't that the conclusion of it all? One of these days, no matter what you may think of me, or no matter what you may think of yourself, Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Listen, one of these days, we're all going to stand before the true judge, and we're going to give an account unto him. And when I leave this world and when you leave this world, you're not going to stand one day and give an account unto me. And you're not going to stand, and I'm not going to stand one day and give account to you, but every one of us is going to give account unto the Lord for everything we've done in this life. I've had people say something in front of me and come and apologize and say, oh, I'm sorry that I used that ugly word or bad word or curse word, or I'm sorry that I said that in front of a preacher. You know what I've always told them? I said, well, I appreciate that, but don't you think that I'm the judge. You need to go to God. God's the only one that can forgive. And God is the one that we're going to answer to. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done in the body. You remember that? Is it before you from day to day? It ought to be. It ought to be with the things that we approach. You know, I am consciously aware of this today, and what a great burden that it is to be aware of this from time to time. But I am aware of the fact today that one of these days I'm going to have to stand before God, and I'm going to have to give account unto Him for the sermon that I preached today. I'm going to have to give account unto Him
for the ministry that he called me into and the way that I spent my time in the ministry. And let me say this to you today that are preachers. I've always told everybody that if God calls a man to preach, he ought to do it. You ought to be obedient unto that. You ought to own that. You ought to answer that call. And you ought to do your best to preach if God calls you to preach. But listen, preachers, if you're going to preach, be willing to preach what God tells you to preach when he tells you to preach it, whether people like it or don't like it. Be willing to stand up for God, because it is him that you're going to ultimately be responsible to. I'm not going to answer to you. You're not going to answer to me. But we're all going to answer to the Lord, aren't we? We've got to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus said that we can see the beam in our brother's eye, and we can't seem to see the mote, or we can see the mote, rather, that's in our brother's eye, but we can't see the beam that's in our own. Isn't that true? Jesus said you can see that little bitty particle that's in your brother's eye, but you can't see the great big thing that's in your own eye. But he said, get rid of that beam that's in your eye, and then you'll be able to clearly see to be able to get rid of the mote that's in your brother's eye. And friends, listen, I found this to be the truth, that everything that I could find wrong with my brother or my sister, I could find two things wrong with me, at least. We need to consider ourselves before we consider anybody else, don't we? Consider ourselves. Judgment is coming. I pray today that there's not a soul in this house that will have to stand before God one day in the day of his righteous judgment, unclothed, without Christ. Because I can't even begin today to explain to you how horrible that will be to stand before the Lord. The Bible, the Apostle Peter spoke about it in this way: if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? When I stand before the Lord, I'm going to have things to answer for. But my soul will be safe by the blood of Christ. God forbid that you would stand before him completely naked, unclothed, not ready, no protection, because the blood of Christ is the only thing that will sustain anybody in that hour. If we depended upon our works to get us through, we'd split hell wide open, wouldn't we? I'm depending upon what the Lord did for me. I want to read another verse or two before I stop. Galatians chapter 1 and 10. This is another thing that the Apostle Paul expressed. This is how he felt about pleasing the Lord rather than pleasing men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know what? If you're out to please the people, well, first of all, let me tell you this. You won't please all the people all the time. Amen. If you're out to please the people, if you're worried about what people think, if your whole goal in life is to make people happy, then you shouldn't be the servant of Christ. Amen. It's exactly what Paul wrote about it. If I was out to please men, I've got no business being the servant of the Lord. He also said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, he said, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, from what I believe in the Great Commission of the Lord, we have been entrusted with the gospel. And we better be willing to uphold the truth of the gospel, regardless of who likes it and who don't like it. We better be willing to stand for the Lord in the face of all adversity, because I'll tell you what, the more time passes, the fewer people there are that will really embrace the truth of God's word and be willing to walk with the Lord. Fewer and fewer people all the time that will really take a stand for the truth. I had somebody tell me one time, and I hate to even say this, but I had somebody tell me one time, many years ago, they said, well, I know that we ought to bring charges against this member for what they've done. I know that the church ought to deal with them, but I know if we do that people are going to get mad. So we better just let it go. I was actually told that. You know what? That's pleasing men rather than pleasing the Lord. We need to please the Lord. We need to strive to please the Lord in everything that we do, because we're going to appear before Him and we're going to give an account of the way that we live our lives. And God is seeing. You know, we know that Jesus is coming back one day. He's coming back one day in the clouds of heaven in great glory. He's coming back. But let me tell you something. Jesus is walking among this church right now. Right now. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. What did He say there in the book of Revelation about the seven candlesticks? He said He was walking among them. The Lord is walking among His churches. And He knows and He sees everything that we do. And we need to stay aware of the fact that it is to Him that we will give account and not to anybody else. So that's my message today. I hope it's helped all of us in some way. And I appreciate your attention. I truly do. And we need to stay aware the fact that we're not citizens of this world, we're citizens of a better world, and because of that, we need to live our lives that way while we live in this world. Paul said, whether present or absent, we know that we're going to heaven one day, we know that we're going to have a glorified body one day, we know that one day we're going to be acceptable to God in that way, in that land, but Paul said, we need to labor that whether there or here, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him. We need to strive for His pleasure and His acceptance here in this life as well. So I appreciate your attention today. And I pray God's richest blessings upon you.